What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening to me for a while, folks, you know that I'm always looking for the reasonable people in politics that actually care about solutions that work for working families in Wisconsin. And I'm really pleased to be joined today by one of those reasonable people in politics, a former representative, former assembly minority leader, former secretary of the Department of Revenue under Governor Tony Evers, a longtime public servant and a friend of mine and a friend of yours, Peter Barker, who's running to be the congressional representative in Wisconsin's first congressional district in southeastern Wisconsin under the newly drawn maps. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Peter. It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Maggie. Sorry, I was muted there for a second, but terrific to be back on your show again and appreciate the opportunity to keep your listeners informed about all the key issues going on today. It's a vital time with 35 days left in this election cycle.
Can you believe it? I know there's a ton of effort and it's extremely exhausting to run for election, but I feel like this one has been turbocharged and on like lightning speed, obviously because of the dynamics of the presidential election, Peter. But I wanted to start with some specifics. I know that your opponent has been running a major ad blitz. They're worried about this congressional race, and they have accused you of some things that I find to be downright stupid, including saying that you don't support veterans, insinuating that you might want to defund the police, which, and I'll just say this at the front end, the reason I say that these are stupid ads is that if a candidate actually had that track record, it would be stupid for them to run in a purple district like the first CD. Folks, if you're hearing this, if you hear this from your neighbors, friends, family, tell them to check it out because it's bogus. But I wanted to give you, Peter, the chance to address some of these dirty, lying attack ads specifically.
Yeah, it's very sad. You know, it's almost like he makes it completely out of whole cloth, like, you know, with veterans. I was given an award by the VFW after my service in Congress. I don't know of any awards he's gotten at all, period, except for financial awards from the pharmaceutical companies for voting three times against, cutting drug costs or nearly 200 grand from credit card companies after he voted to raise our credit card fees. I've gotten dozens of awards from, just a wide array of folks. But of course, I'm, very proud with the veterans and what I did as a member of Congress. And also, I was the one that led the effort to get the POW/MIA monument in the state capitol rotunda. I work extremely closely. I rarely miss any Veterans Day activities and extremely close with the veterans. And then with the police, I mean, it's so absurd. First of all, I come from a family of law enforcement officials. So I'm certainly not going to be identifying with groups, as he says, that are called police occupiers, for goodness sakes. You know, I've given probably hundreds of speeches throughout my career and on the floor during those tense periods during Act 10. I would remind people, I would say, look, I have nothing but respect for anybody that every time they put on their uniform, puts their lives on the line, whether it's a firefighter, whether it's a police officer, or whether it's our military personnel. So the idea that I identify with people like call police occupiers is just absolutely absurd. And, I've gotten, we've got information out there on the internet about, a former sheriff, former police chief, former commander of police department, and detectives that are, who talk about the efforts that I made in getting 100,000 new police officers when I was a member of Congress and, achieving more funding for community-based policing, things of that sort. Where meanwhile, the irony is, I think why he does it, it's really projection, because he actually has voted to cut funding for police officers, to not have money for bulletproof vests and things of that sort. So, I think that it's just remarkable to me when I see this kind of ads. But the one that I also find just absolutely unbelievable is this idea that I support open borders. And there again, I think it's complete projection, because he's been there 6 years. And all he does is talk about immigration, but he will not work across the aisle to get anything done. As a matter of fact, the Lugar Center, who rates how bipartisan people are, rate him near the bottom of the pack, for God's sakes. Where, you know, I've been touted for the work I've done on a bipartisan basis, but particularly on this issue, I think it is absolutely shameful that they could have had a deal in place now for 9 months. And there's a bipartisan deal put together by a conservative Republican, James Langford of Oklahoma, an independent, Kristen Sinema from Arizona, a Democrat, Chris Murphy from Connecticut. It was a remarkable deal that the Border Patrol endorsed, and President Biden said he would sign into law. And instead, they're content with allowing fentanyl to keep coming across the border for a year for their own political benefit. And ironically, you know, once again, this is an opportunity where I see Brian Stiles say one thing and do completely the opposite. He was on the Upfront show. He said he'd work with anybody on immigration. And then lo and behold, 7 months later, he's at a town hall meeting. He said, well, no, I'm only for the Republican bill. They could try and tweak that, but that's the bill I'm going to support. Well, as long as you have that attitude, if Democrats either for the Democratic bill or Republicans only say they're for the Republican bill, that means we could go another couple of years since we're likely to have divided government again. And meanwhile, my circle of friends, I know five people that lost kids to fentanyl. So it's near and dear to my heart. It makes me angry. It's one of the reasons why I ran, because he's a complete failure in accomplishing anything on this issue that he talks about endlessly. And I think he doesn't understand his job. I think he thinks his job is to describe the problem as opposed to coming up with solutions. But he has a history of saying one thing and doing another. When he ran, he talked about infrastructure. He talked about the idea we needed infrastructure, and there was a bipartisan deal that a large swath of Republicans supported. He wasn't one of them. Then he wrote an editorial in the Racine Journal Times back in July of 2022, where he said that it's very important that we have chips made in America. And a month later, he voted against the bill. I mean, so he continually will say one thing and do another, but I think he just throws as much mud as he can. And he hopes we don't notice his extreme record of voting with the most extreme Republicans in the Congress on issue after issue after issue, whether it's middle class issues, whether it's protecting health care. He put out flyers at taxpayer expense saying it was for senior citizens. And meanwhile, he's part of a Republican study committee that recommends cutting Social Security and increasing the time before people can collect Social Security and cutting Medicare, making it harder for senior citizens. So he has an abysmal record that's extreme, that does not fit this district. Maybe it's because he had a plus 7% Republican district and he thought it didn't matter, but things have changed. And I think it's just unbelievable to me, though, how far he will go in bringing up things that have no resemblance to the truth whatsoever.
Well, and the reality is that in divided government, as you point out, there's never a perfect bill. The bill will always have, I don't care what we're talking about, it's going to have elements that liberals don't like. It's going to have elements that conservatives don't like. Newsflash, everybody, working across the aisle and actually getting things done is the business of government, imperfect though it may be. If we make perfect for our partisan interests the goal, not a gosh darn thing will happen. I think Wisconsinites are smarter than that. I think the voters in the first congressional district are smarter than that. All of this, Peter, I think it is such a reflection of the debasement of policy discussion that has happened as soon as Donald Trump came down that golden escalator in his golden tower that he retreats to, out of touch, and yet fanning the flames, lying about the other party constantly. Your opponent is doing it about your record, when your record is amply filled with exhibit after exhibit, evidence after evidence of bipartisanship, of getting things done for Wisconsinites. When we think about this debate this evening, Peter, what are you looking for? What do you think Governor Walz needs to communicate to the American people?
Well, I think it's very important that he lay out the priorities that the new administration would have and how they would help the middle class to grow and expand, which to me is one of the most important issues in the upcoming Congress that'll start in January of 2025, and how he can differentiate the difference between his proposal and J.D. Vance, which has been unbelievable, quite frankly, to hear some of the things that he's come up with. And it'll be a very interesting debate. I think people should definitely tune in. I think they'll see a dramatic difference between these two individuals. Tim Walz, who has a lifetime of service to the public and everything from being a teacher to a coach to, in the National Guard for 25 years, I believe it was.
Yes.
And being a member of Congress, heading the Veterans Committee, having a distinguished record in that capacity, and then being a two-term governor of Minnesota. I mean, he's accomplished a great deal for people, and he's someone that I think has a very clear sense of what the goals and priorities need to be for the American people.
I wanted to ask you about an instance, and Peter, you and I have talked privately. I've asked you public questions about this before, because I think it is a sterling example of your independence, the fact that you will always put people ahead of party. And that is when the much debated, highly controversial Foxconn deal was happening, which has now made the potential for this enormous job growth based on Microsoft's investment in southeastern Wisconsin possible. You went against the grain. You did not vote with Democrats in the assembly. You voted for this economic development. And I just want you to talk about this a bit, Peter, because you put working people in your district ahead of your party. Is this what you plan to do in Congress? And if you could address this
generally, specifically. It's what I did do. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, being on the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Board, I listened intently, worked closely to make sure the deal was airtight. As a matter of fact, Foxconn wouldn't have got a dime if the deal wasn't renegotiated, because it was all about creating jobs. Clearly, I know many of my party were worried. They said, if you vote for this, Scott Walker's guaranteed re-election. And I said, well, first of all, you don't know that that's the case. That's one issue. I said, but secondly, I said, it pains me. You don't understand that I'm going to put my community ahead of my party every day of the week and twice on Sunday. That, this we had such great promise. And you're absolutely right. I love the way you framed it, Maggie. In fact, did lead to, the tremendous Microsoft deal. I on behalf of Governor Evers, I went and presented to the Racine County Board to get them to support that deal in the first place. And I'm very proud of that. But I also did the same thing in Congress. When I was a member of Congress, I had Democratic leaders, the president and the vice president, asking me to support the NAFTA deal. And I knew that that was not a good deal for America. I knew it would lead to more deindustrialization of good paying family supporting jobs here. And not only did I not support it, I was on the whip group that fought bitterly against it, because not only did it hurt workers, it hurt small businesses who are subcontractors that supply these major industries. And sure enough, it has led to just tremendous deindustrialization, along with all these other disastrous trade deals that have come subsequent to that, that I will fight against tooth and nail, because my goal is to rebuild and expand the middle class. So that's one way you can do it, buy Americans. Another way, when I was a member of Congress, I got a provision through the Defense Authorization Bill that ships engines had to be made in America, which led to recalling nearly 100 laid off workers at Fairbanks Morse, and they're hiring many more. I'll never forget going through their plant. People tell me it's the most money they had ever made in their life. And I'm the only person in this race that clearly would not only work across the aisle, but I'll put the interests of southeastern Wisconsin and, my district first.
Folks, that's Peter Barca, a friend of mine, a friend of yours, and a fighter for southeastern Wisconsin and the residents of the 1st Congressional District. If y'all are smart enough to put him back in Congress this November, Peter, we hope to hear from you again before November 5th. Excuse me. Thanks so much for making time. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're next going to be joined by one of the representatives of the ACLU in Wisconsin to talk about all these dirty election tricks that the MAGA cult is pulling in Wisconsin. You're not going to want to miss it. Back with more in just a moment.